Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas. Loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeart Podcasts, and how the tech are you? We are talking about some of the biggest stories in tech over the last year, and today we're looking back at a huge train wreck of a story, that of how the platform formerly known as Twitter, currently known as a disgrace, as X, has navigated the year. And before I get into it, I want to give a huge shout out to the folks over at The Verge. They have a collection of stories gathered under the banner The Year Twitter Died. So seriously, I'll be hitting some highlights of what has gone on over the course of actually the last 2 years, because we have to do some background on this. But to really get into the muck, I recommend checking out the articles that are part of The Year Twitter Died over at The Verge. They're really good, and they go into a lot more analysis and even opinion. So check those out. All right, let's set the scene. All right, last year in 2022, folks began to notice that Elon Musk was appearing to accumulate a significant amount of Twitter stock, like around 9% of all outstanding shares. By early spring, the rumor mill was abuzz that Musk might be making a move to purchase Twitter, which is at the time was a publicly traded company. Now, at one point, Musk actually received an offer for a seat on the board of directors, and he considered taking it. However, taking that position would mean that Musk would have to agree to not buy more than 14.9% of the company's stock. He would not be allowed to own any more than that. And it would also mean he would actually have to agree to be more careful about what he said publicly about Twitter. Well, neither of those things really suited Musk, and he declined the offer. Instead, Musk made an unsolicited bid for the company itself. He offered up a deal that would see shareholders receive $54.20 per share. Now, at the time, Twitter stock was trading at around $45 per share. So this would be a significant bump in investments. If you're an investor and you own, 1,000 shares in Twitter, and it's going from $45 to $54, that's great. That's like a $9,000 profit from what you had already held. That's great. So Musk's offer was kind of flirting at the edge of a hostile takeover attempt, and he also announced when he had secured funding from various partners who would contribute to his purchase of this. Because while Musk is, or at times has been, the most wealthy person in the world, that wealth is tied into other assets. It's not like he has a Scrooge McDuck vault full of gold coins that he goes swimming in. Most of his money is tied up in stocks in other companies. So it's not something that he can just like take $44 billion out of the bank and slap it down on the table and buy Twitter. So the board of directors said they would consider the offer. They also prepared a measure to protect Twitter should Musk actually pursue a hostile takeover in a type of protection called a poison pill. To get into that would take a little too much time, but let's just say that they were kind of hedging their bets. Anyway, from that point, things went bonkers. The board agreed to Musk's offer, whereupon Musk appeared to suddenly develop second thoughts. By mid-May, so like a month after this had really gotten started, Musk was trying to get out of the deal he had proposed. And he cited all sorts of concerns, saying that things at Twitter weren't as peachy keen as he had been led to believe, that the platform was absolutely riddled with bots, and that this had driven up Twitter's value to a level that wasn't realistic. But the problem was, Musk's agreement had ceded his rights to due diligence. Like, he had agreed to just skip due diligence. So he was kind of stuck. It's like agreeing sight unseen that you're going to buy a house and you sign a contract. Then you show up and you find out the house is in shambles. Well, you've already signed the contract. You gave up your rights in the agreement. Well, over the following months, Musk repeatedly made statements saying things at Twitter were really not good. The company was garbage. That he didn't want to buy it. And meanwhile, the board of directors were taking legal action to force Musk to follow through on the deal. And, you know, their point was, hey, you said you're going to buy this. Even if you're not going to buy it, you're going to owe us $1 billion, because that's what the agreement says. If you back out, you got to pay $1 billion for that privilege. And you are sabotaging the company, right? You are saying all these terrible things about the company in an effort to get out of this deal. We're going to make you follow through. Ultimately, Musk did follow through on the deal, but only after it was clear there was no way for him to get out of the hole he himself had dug. Once he realized, oh no, the consequences of my own actions are inevitable, he kind of accepted it and went ahead and purchased the company. So in October 2022, Elon Musk acquired Twitter, and it didn't take long at all before he started making huge moves. He cleared house, he fired essentially the board of directors and the executive team over at Twitter. He also fired about half of Twitter's workforce right out the gate and made demands that led to thousands of other employees resigning because they refused to work under the circumstances that he was demanding. And Musk reigned over a significantly damaged Twitter. And this kind of sets the scene for 2023. Now, even before 2023 got started, Twitter was already facing a challenge when it came to revenue. The company has always struggled with revenue and profitability. Even when Twitter was going gangbusters, it wasn't really a profitable company. But according to Musk himself, Twitter was losing around $4 million per day back in November of 2022. And advertisers were starting to show signs of caution upon Musk's acquisition of the company. And this, as it would turn out, would be a tiny preview of what was to come in 2023. So in January 2023, Twitter had around 2,300 employees. Before Musk took the company over, it had 7,400 folks working there. So now they were down to less than half of their workforce from just a few months earlier. Meanwhile, Elon Musk had these huge dreams he wanted implemented. He wanted to transform Twitter into something that had been on his mind for years, a sort of everything app, similar to China's WeChat app, where you could communicate, you could conduct commerce, you could do all sorts of things. His version of the app had its roots way back in his early days as one of the co-founders of the company that would eventually become PayPal. His version back then was to be called X. But Musk wouldn't see it come to fruition because some of the other folks at the company that would become PayPal decided that Musk was a bit much and they muscled him out of the company. Apparently, Musk had been determined to prove them wrong ever since. Anyway, Musk wanted to transform Twitter into something beyond what it already was, but that is really hard to do even if you haven't just gone ahead and reduced your workforce by more than half. Just keeping Twitter running was a challenge, let alone building the elements that would turn it into an everything app. Perhaps this drive took too much attention and led to situations that, if Musk had been a little more attentive, could have been avoided. But seeing as how Musk typically reacts poorly to pretty much every situation he's ever put in, I'm not convinced. In March 2023, Musk stated that he figured Twitter at that point was worth around $20 billion. That had to be a blow, because again, at $54.20 per share, the price that Musk paid when he bought the company, it brought the company up to around $44 billion. So just like the workforce, Twitter's value was reduced by more than half since Musk's takeover. Worse yet, Fidelity gave an even more drastic estimate, valuing the company down to $14.41 billion. So like a third of what Musk had paid for it. Beyond the monetary value, some users were questioning the practical value of Twitter. Once upon a time, owners of note could have their accounts verified by Twitter, and they would receive a little blue check mark. And this mark alerted other users on Twitter that that account legitimately represented who or what it claimed to, whether that was a celebrity or a news organization or a politician, a government agency, what have you. But Musk changed that. And in 2022, he introduced a paid-for check system. And for $8 a month, initially $20 a month, but he walked that back because people freaked out about it, anyone could get a check mark. Suddenly, the verification element of check marks was out the window. And in fact, several mischief makers took the opportunity to create new accounts that impersonated famous people or brands or government agencies. They paid for the check mark, so it looked like they were the verified account representing that entity. And then they started posting all sorts of stuff, including really awful stuff. This damaged Twitter's reputation, particularly among brands, which weren't keen on some Yahoo on the site pretending to represent them. It was one of many questionable decisions that would lead us to where we are today. We'll talk more about some of those questionable decisions, but right now we have a decision that's not questionable, and that is to thank our sponsors.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. So one thing that Musk has also done repeatedly is kind of position himself as a champion of free speech. You might find that his parameters of what constitutes free speech are somewhat subjective. Hate speech seemed to increase and flourish on the platform, a matter that led more than one organization to accuse Twitter of failing to prevent or mitigate the problem. Musk's response typically is to threaten lawsuits against organizations complaining about hate speech on the platform. Meanwhile, more advertisers were rethinking their relationship with Twitter, with several pausing spending on any advertising money for Twitter campaigns. The situation got bad enough that Musk was convinced he needed to find a new CEO, mostly to help bring advertisers back to the platform. Now, Musk had said his plan was only to act as interim CEO from the very beginning. He said that as soon as he found a suitable replacement, that person would be put in charge and he would step away. This was something that was necessary because shareholders in other companies like Tesla were becoming frustrated that Musk's attention was on this social platform instead of, say, his car company, and that their investments in the car company were suffering as a result because the company wasn't really going in any good direction. So there was this pressure on Elon Musk to name a successor over at Twitter. And he did, sort of. He named Linda Yaccarino, a former executive with NBC Universal, who was known for having strong relationships with advertisers, which makes sense. She worked with advertisers and brands in a high-profile media company. So she seemed like an ideal choice, at least as far as repairing Twitter's relationship with brands and ad companies would go. But Yaccarino has found herself somewhat hampered by the fact that Elon has stayed on with Twitter, and by some accounts at least, essentially is still running the show over there. So in other words, the common perception is that Yaccarino is over there to try and smooth things out with advertisers and brands, but not to actually run the company. That would be Musk's purview. Now, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's a reflection of what is actually happening over at X, but it is the common perception. Anyway, whether she's calling the shots or not, she hasn't really been able to stop the migration of advertisers from the company. Occasionally, you'll hear about one tentatively coming back, but more frequently, you hear about them leaving. Now, back in the spring, Musk also rebranded Twitter as X Corp. The platform was still called Twitter at this point. That would change over the summer when Twitter shed its old name and adopted X as its new name. And it also got rid of all the Twitter branding and the logos and everything that had defined Twitter for more than a decade. This move confused a lot of people. It's generally believed that it's a bad idea to toss aside a widely recognizable brand and to start from scratch. It certainly led to everyone using the phrase X, formerly known as Twitter. I still hear that. And it's been 6 months since the change. Anyway, there's a lot of value that's built up in a brand. I think part of the reason people say X, formerly known as Twitter, is that they miss the old Twitter. And it's kind of them indicating, like, the thing I'm talking about now is not the same as the thing that I enjoyed using, you know, 2 years ago. Anyway, they decided, for whatever reason, to throw all that value out, possibly because Elon Musk has some level of obsession over the brand X. The changes kept coming. In August, TweetDeck, which had started off as a third-party Twitter client, and then later Twitter acquired TweetDeck, went from being freely available to anyone to being locked behind a paywall. So only X subscribers can access the TweetDeck tool. This was a huge hassle to folks who managed multiple accounts on X, myself included. I had my own account, I had TechStuff's account, I had a few others, and it was really easy to manage from a single view in TweetDeck. But putting it behind a Twitter subscription was a drag. Part of the reason it was a drag is that by this point, the Twitter, or rather X, checkmark was no longer looked at as verification or even a social badge of honor. It was quite the opposite, actually. People started to look at that checkmark as a sign that you were kind of a stooge. At least that was the general perception among a subset of Twitter's population, or X's population. In fact, some accounts that retained the checkmark because they just had so many followers that Musk allowed them to continue having the checkmark, they would proclaim, "Hey, this isn't my choice. I didn't subscribe to X. They just gave me the checkmark and I have nothing to do with it." So it became the opposite social status than what it had used to be. This past summer, Musk also announced that non-subscribers would have limits to the number of posts they would be able to see in a day. Now, the official story for this is that it would cut down on data scraping across the platform, though skeptics figured it was an effort to drive more subscriptions. Musk also introduced a revenue sharing plan for certain Twitter users. You, again, would need to be subscribed to Twitter to qualify for this. Musk also generously indicated that he would put any money his own account earned back into the pool, because obviously Musk has the most followed account on the platform. Now, keep in mind that investigations indicated that a ton of Musk's followers appear to either be inactive or potentially bots. Most have fewer than a dozen posts credited to them. Many of them have no followers of their own. They appear to be passive accounts and arguably serve no value other than to inflate Musk's own follower numbers. Let's see, what else? X also changed its API, its application programmer interface. It got rid of all the free options, replaced it with tiers of paid service. The top tier for enterprises costs a blistering $42,000 a month. This led to several developers saying they would have to call it quits on their Twitter-related apps, or they would just go bankrupt trying to run them. Musk also welcomed back folks who had previously been banned on the platform, giving them a space for that free speech he values so much. Again, your mileage may vary with Musk's dedication to free speech. If you criticize Musk, you might find it's not that free. Anyway, these questionable decisions would include reinstating the account of Alex Jones, which was a decision that was so shocking, I'm sure it convinced advertisers that had been on the fence about leaving to just pick up their bags and go at that point. The company's financial situation, I think it's safe to say, is in shambles. Throughout the year, there were stories of the company failing or refusing to pay bills for stuff like office space, which led to evictions and lawsuits. Ex-employees have brought legal action against the company too, saying they've been denied their guaranteed severance. The National Music Publishers Association has sued X for $250 million, alleging multiple incidents of copyright infringement. The EU has launched an investigation into the company to determine if X is failing to follow EU law with regard to policing hate speech. The company's on track to post much lower revenue numbers this year than from last year, which in turn was already a drop from the year before. Pretty much every story coming out of X right now is negative, and I'm sure Vegas is going to start taking bets on if, or maybe even when, the company will collapse. So can X make it through 2024 and out the other side? I personally believe it would be much easier to achieve that if someone convinced Musk to just step back from the company entirely, but I'd be surprised if he actually does it. I don't know. The company does have a lot of staying power. I mean, it stuck around for years without making any sort of profit. But it just, I don't know. The perception seems to be that X now is just a toxic environment and that it's destroying itself from within. So we'll see. I think it's pretty sad, especially for all the people who lost their jobs in the wake of Musk taking over. But who knows? Maybe it will transform itself again. We'll have to see what happens in 2024. In the meantime, I hope all of you are well, and I'll talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.